Hey, y'all. This episode is being brought to you by the great folks over at Squarespace, where you can build a site that looks professionally designed regardless of whether or not you went to an expensive school or you work at IGN or you interned at Dexter's Laboratory. You don't need to know nothing about coding. They have intuitive and easy-to-use tools to get the job done. We use the website. It's awesome. So go to squarespace.com to use offer code READ to get 10% off your first purchase. Now let's start. I need you to help me with this.
Oh, okay.
Saw him dancing there by the wrecking machine.
Oh, Lord.
Knew he must have been about 17. Beat was going strong, playing our favorite song. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me. Yeah, me. I could tell it wouldn't be long.
White people's favorite song.
Yeah. Singing, I love rock and roll. So put another dime in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll. So come and take your time and dance with me.
Yes. Come on, outro.
So I am the Powerball.
Oh, bitch. That just reminded me to go get my ticket. And I am David Bowie. Rest in peace.
And this is the read.
Bitch, I sure did forget to go get. I don't want to win the whole thing.
You could just give me a piece of it.
Come on.
Like, just if I get like.
That's it.
If I just get a couple of numbers, just
give
me. I just
want $2 million or less, honestly. I don't need your $1.6 billion and the whole world looking for me.
What to do with that.
Right, that's too much money.
That's way too much
money. Even if you take the lump sum and it's like $848 million, that's too much fucking money to have overnight. It is. It's too much.
What do I do with that?
It will fuck your life up. And if you think you can be anonymous or have your attorney claim it for you or whatever, niggas will find you if you win the jackpot,
sweetie.
I'm not doing
that.
They will. I don't want it.
I don't need that, all of that money.
Can I just get like $250,000? I don't need a lot. I'm not asking for much.
Just give me regular ass VMA Oscar numbers.
I don't need nothing extra, just enough to kind of add to my savings and make life a little more comfortable. That's it. Girl, that's all I'm looking for.
I just want to set my family up back home, give something a little, you know, to Jamaica, start a nonprofit. And that's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Live off the fat of the land. I don't need no $1.6 billion in lottery. I don't need that attention. I don't need that stress. Nope.
Anyway,
so let me go get my ticket. You right. I showed it. Do you already have yours?
Oh, no, I haven't even gone yet. Mm. But I was listening to the Friends on this morning and they were talking about it. It was hilarious. And I was like, maybe I should go. Because every time I go into any of the bodegas in the neighborhood, they're always buying lotto tickets, regardless.
Which is sad, really.
And they be in there like with like $50 in ones and they be like, 4, 12, 13, 8. 7. How old are you? 38. Like they just.
Yes.
And I'm like, I just want a water.
Right. If you don't have, if you're not at the lottery line.
Right.
And like, it's like a whole lottery speak that they have. Like, I want 16 on the power play with
right.
the punch ball.
Exactly.
And like, oh girl, I didn't know you was good to even do all that.
Give me 352s and a 12. On balling out of control. Like, I don't, what are you, get out of the way.
Right. You playing games and shit? I just want one regular ticket, please. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I might actually do that.
Yeah, go
since
get
I'm
one.
A mammy now.
Oh, God.
You, I'm somebody's mama.
Look at you, and you are selling your feelings about it.
Like.
Go on and talk about it, because, I mean, you clearly can't stop yourself.
I got a puppy.
You did.
On Saturday, her name's Link, after Legend of Zelda, and also because bad bitch is Link Up, and that's what she is. And when I went and got the puppy, like, they brought out a couple of puppies, and they were, like, you know, a couple of, like, little small dogs or whatever, because my apartment's small. And she was, like, the only one. Like, all the other puppies wanted to, like, jump up on my knee and, like play with toys with me and shit. And she was the only one who was just kind of, like, I don't give a fuck whether you come, go, stay, die.
No one asked you to be here, so.
I'm an independent bitch and I don't need you. So I was like, give me her. She's black.
And that's why she's out there chewing everybody's thumbs up and shit. She don't give a damn.
Absolutely
independent. She didn't come here to make friends.
She said, I-N-D-E-P. Do you know what that
come
means?
Come on, boosy ass dog.
So, yeah, and I'm like
You're obsessed. You're obsessed.
I wept today. I was like, this is a dog.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
So when people push actual living people out of their bodies, I can't imagine the rush of emotion.
Right. It's got to be even more intense because you was in here frowning up at the thought of being separated from that dog for an hour and a half.
And I got the dog on Saturday and got a cold on Saturday.
Oh, well.
Which I'm just now getting over today. Okay. So the entire time that I've had her, I have been sickly. While this dog is like, nope, gotta shit. Nope, I have to piss. Nope, where's the food at? Nope, time to play. What's that? Come on, let's do this. I'm finna chew that. And I'm just like,
you're running around.
I can't breathe. Anyway.
You love it.
It's amazing.
You love it.
So, Black excellence this week. I'm gonna give it to some Hollywood faves of mine.
Oh, okay. That's different.
I don't know how or why I said it like that. Anyway, so first of all, shout out to Taraji for winning that Golden Globe and for being just unapologetically her.
Right.
And just having a good time. And this is, I just want to briefly cut in this because I'm not even going to give white people too much.
Okay.
But you know that the white people were seething that not only did she, I mean, obviously there were loads of white people who loved it, but there were people who were just like, she is too cocky and she's so full of herself. And I saw one person leave a comment on Instagram after I think People or somebody posted it, and they were like, she's Hollywood garbage. She loves herself way too much. I can't stand it. And I don't know if I responded back or not. I can't really remember. But I know that if I did, the response was, so would you rather she hate herself so much like you idiot? Like, what is wrong with loving herself? Like, the bitch went to the show and had a good fucking time and was happy to win an award.
Right.
And, like, laughed and had, like, fun.
But black girls loving themselves will always offend people who don't see a reason for black girls to be loved.
More on that later.
Shout out to Taraji. She told them white folks they was going to give her time to finish her goddamn speech.
And through Shay talked about, you know, I've done all of these parts of an actor
and
for all of these years.
And kept saying it.
Like,
she was like, and I just really thought, I mean, Denzel, didn't you think like 10 years ago when I did, you know, but you
with
know,
the trophy
the
in her hand.
With the trophy in like, her hand and mad like, oh, but I had to play a crackhead, I guess.
Anyway, here we are and I'm going to finish.
Nigga, I lived.
I
shout
was
out
so
to Taraji.
Excited.
That was dope.
Also, a woman by the name of Denai Gurira. I butchered that. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But she is known for playing the character Michonne on The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
And is one of she's my favorite character on that show. And I feel like most people who watch the show truly enjoy Michonne because she's bad. She's got dreads. She's, you know, brown, like a deep, dark brown. And she's beautiful and her skin is amazing. And she kicks everybody's ass. Motherfuckers are afraid of her. She'll kill you. Don't try her. But she also has heart. But she's just like a lovable character. And I kind of also feel like she's underrated as an actor. But regardless,
okay,
she's going to be playing Afeni Shakur in the Tupac biopic.
Oh,
biopic.
That's coming out? Like a movie?
Yeah. And I think that they announced it like some years ago. I think that his mom is actually like one of the executive producers or something.
Oh.
But it's okay. I think it's called All Eyes on Me.
Okay.
And they just announced, I think, yesterday.
Well, good. Shout out to her.
And I'm really excited to see her play this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, for those of you who do not know, Tupac's mom was like a part of the Black Panther movement.
Oh, yeah.
She was like a certified badass activist, philanthropist. She, you know, has like a Tupac Shakur foundation for like young people in the performing arts. She's just an all around magical Black badass.
Right. And Tupac was very woke.
Yeah.
You know, even during his short young life, like as a teenager and stuff, he was very aware of how fucked up shit was, and he didn't keep quiet about
at all
injustice. Lord help me. But
that
that's
was
what
my
I mean
favorite thing about him, actually, because I've never been like a huge Pac fan musically. Oh girl, come.
I mean, it's fun. It's
you
fun.
Know what I'm saying.
It's
but
fun.
I liked him. I actually, in terms of like Biggie and Tupac, I've always said I liked Tupac's personality and words and not so much his music, and Biggie was the reverse.
Yes.
Like
I
liked
agree.
Biggie's music and not his personality.
Because I knew every word to Biggie's singles. Like my mama would not allow me to purchase his album, but I would tape his songs off the radio and learn like as much of it as I could. And I just never really had that connection with Tupac. But I mean, you know,
I liked it. Even back then, I remember him being super woke and being on fucking A Different World and kissing Jay-Z.
Yes, me too. I'm glad Affinity is still around to like provide insight into the character and make sure they do right by her son for the movie and all that. I'm excited for this.
Also, some girl by the name of Kat Graham. That sounded shady, but she's an actress. Her name's Kat Graham. I like recognize her name.
Is that a YouTube girl?
No. She's on The Vampire Diaries on the CW.
Oh, okay.
She's playing Jada.
What?
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to turn out. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I would actually love...
They have a little Different World segment of it where they have them like...
Maybe.
Because that was part of the, you know, Jada and Tupac story. Because, you know, everybody back then, celebrity gossip didn't spread like it does now. Mm-hmm. And so we knew about Jada and Tupac, but we didn't know about them. And so seeing them on screen always reminds me like, oh, yeah, you know, before Will, Jada did.
Right.
You know, she had some boos and Tupac was one of them.
They were very close friends.
Yay. Shout out to them.
All right.
Your black excellencies.
This week in cold beans and collard greens.
Cold beans and collard greens. Cold beans and collard greens.
Cold beans
and collard greens. Cold beans and collard greens.
So let's just jump back to the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Because I guess we have a couple of other things that we could mention. First of all,
that show.
There was a boring as I thought they would be. Like the show,
for the most part.
Like, why don't they ever just get? If you're gonna try and be funny at award shows, like hire like real comedians, like notable people that have proven that they are funny. To produce these things and like write the stuff, like some of the jokes are so bad. I don't know if it's just that the joke is bad or that the presenters are just like delivering them horribly, mm-hmm. but it's just like there'll be these horrible jokes that just sit there and everybody is like, God, shoot me.
Right. I mean, and that happens at a lot of award shows. It's like
almost all of them.
What y'all come up with on the teleprompter and then how the people receive it and put it back out, it's just like night and day, girl.
It's so bad.
But I enjoyed the host, Ricky Gervais. I like him.
I'm not a fan.
I liked him. I liked how he was just very, well, I mean, I'm sure that's part of the joke, but he was just like, why are we here?
This I feel like that's regularly his shtick when he hosts things. It's just kind of like, I don't know why they're giving me money to do this because everything about this is absurd and I'm going
to
keep saying it.
But I mean, getting paid
again.
To shit on an organization during their like
they
their
love
big
it
show that sounds like a dream like to me, like, what, you paying me to shit on y'all, clown you niggas to your faces? That's fine.
Anyway, I actually preferred the people who brought like their own jokes, like when Aziz Ansari, when they presented whatever he was nominated for and he had that book.
Oh, right. How to Lose.
Right. Like a couple people brought their own jokes that were kind of funny. But other than that, I wasn't really a fan of the show altogether. I didn't see a nomination for Black-ish. That was offensive.
Oh, right. Yes.
I don't think I saw a nomination for anybody on the fucking show either. I didn't understand that. Michael B. Jordan wasn't nominated. For Creed.
And Sylvester Stallone was and won and then didn't thank Michael or the director.
Or Ryan. So I'm confused.
Everybody was confused. Like, so you managed to thank the director of Rocky, but not the director of the movie.
Of the movie you're winning for. You done 18 right. of these movies
right.
and won a Golden Globe for this one and you're going up on the stage. Like, what?
It was unreal.
I wanted to like give him the benefit of the doubt because I've always felt like if I ever won like a big fancy award or something like that, like even when I got a Shorty Award, I went up there and panicked. Like, yeah. I was just like, I have no idea what's happening.
Oh, if you haven't seen the video, you have to Google Kid Fury Shorty Award acceptance. That shit is classic. It's
all
so
I knew
good.
Was that Jenna Marbles and Justin Bieber were nominated too, and they invited me and gave me free alcohol. So I was like, I'm here to drink. So I imagine sometimes maybe if you win like an award like that, like you're not gonna know what to say. Like Beyonce and all her perfumes will continue to win awards and just be like, I mean, duh, I don't know what.
Because at this point, all she has to say is, I just want to thank my beehive. Y'all be holding me down. H-Town going down. Okay, bye. That's it.
I don't know. She's like, just mail it. Just mail it. I wanted to give Sylvester Stallone the benefit of the doubt there because, and he did like Or he tried to go back afterwards and like say something when they had already cut to commercial. And then I think he went to the premiere like in London or somewhere and he said something about it on the red carpet too.
Oh, girl.
And so I wanted to be like, all right. But then I think about it and I'm like, when you win an award for a film or a show, wouldn't it, like, what? Typically, people thank God if they believe in him.
Yeah.
And then they thank, like, their cast, the director, mm-hmm. maybe the studio, their family, kids, and then they go home. Unless you're like Viola Davis or somebody else who has, like, a real deep monologue.
Right.
But typically you go out there and be like, thank the niggas that directed the show, thanks. And you weren't even the star of the movie. I'm confused.
If you gonna thank somebody and you just won an acting award, you absolutely need to thank the fucking director of the movie or TV show that you won the award for. That should just be like one of the first people to come to fucking mind.
If you think of no one else.
Even like, if you left Michael B. Jordan out, which I could kind of maybe, I guess.
No.
Maybe. I'm willing to maybe give you that. But nigga, you left out the director of the goddamn movie.
That confuses me.
Yes, it does. It makes me wonder how these black ass names and faces didn't come to mind when you won this fucking award.
Because I said on Twitter, like, I might should shut up. Because I haven't seen Creed yet. And so I
had no intention of seeing it. I bought a ticket, but I didn't go. What? I don't want to.
I do that all the time,
boxing
right?
Boxing movie? I'm not going to look at that.
I mean, I enjoy boxing, but I didn't even realize it was a fucking Rocky movie until, like, after the movie came out and I finally saw some commercial that said it's the best Rocky since. Actually, I had seen that commercial a couple of times where they said it's the best Rocky since Rocky. And they were just using that as, like, an example. I didn't realize a fucking Rocky spinoff.
I barely saw the first Rocky. I was never that into it.
Say it again.
I mean, barely.
But it's like an American treasure or something, I guess.
Y'all got
but
it.
Either way, I just didn't understand how this nigga is the star. He's the one on the fucking poster. Creed is the nigga's last name in the movie. I don't understand what we're doing.
Right.
Like, how did you forget him? And then even if you did, since the Golden Globes also did, how the fuck you forget the fucking director? Like, I just don't even. Yeah. Anyway, shout out to Ryan anyway, because that nigga's, they just announced that he's hosting Marvel's Black Panther when it comes out. So, big things out here.
Well,
big time is big.
I don't know Black Panther neither, but congratulations to him.
Black Panther is like one of the few notable black superheroes.
Wait, like a Black Panther black? I thought
he's
you meant
like
the animal.
He's not like a Black Panther, but he's like, he's African. He's like an African king, and his whole suit is like, looks like a Black Panther, and he's badass.
I thought you meant like he transformed into a panther or some shit. I was going to be like, really?
I wouldn't have anything to say about that.
Okay,
I wouldn't have mentioned it.
Okie doke then.
But yes, so
the Golden Globes.
Oh, also, I just want to mention that Jennifer Lawrence won a lot of awards, or that movie Joy won a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think she won like best actress in a drama or something like that for it. I went and saw Joy during the holiday season with my friend. Shout out to Candace, her family, Alan, everybody. Hey, what's up? And I got like some really good sleep. Like I slept really, really well.
So was that boring?
The pacing was horrible.
Okay.
By the time I woke up, like I went to sleep probably a smooth 15 minutes in, if that. And then by the time I woke up, like niggas were dead. Like the whole, like it had climaxed already. What I watched of it was like inspirational, and I didn't even realize until after we saw the movie that it was based on who it's been. Like I didn't know who. I know who Joy, whatever her name is, like when I Googled the name,
right.
I was like, oh, her. So I got that mop, but whatever. The movie was absolutely, it was so boring. The pacing was absolutely terrible. The acting from her was all right. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. She's like, okay.
Well, I mean, and after the Golden Globes, I'm starting to be a little bit over her. Like, first of all, this alliance with Amy Schumer, who show I like, but everything else she does, I don't. And I don't understand how I feel that way.
I have never seen anything that
I
she's done
love
but
Amy
her show.
Schumer's show.
I've seen the show.
I really like it.
The show.
I think it's smart and funny and all that other shit, but
I haven't seen Trainwreck.
It's like outside of every. I just can't do Amy Schumer. Otherwise.
I haven't seen that Apollo shit.
I saw like a little bit of her stand-up. She hosted the MTV Movie Awards, I think, a couple years ago. And
it was
catastrophic.
That
it was so
awful.
Bad. And now it's like the two of them are these new, you know, white girl best friends. And I can't do that. This Amy Schumer, Jennifer Lawrence alliance. I can't. That's annoying me about you.
I don't be believing half of those public Hollywood best friend shits that these bitches be doing, where they only be hanging out at red carpets and fucking awards and shit like that.
Like, all right,
because I just feel like y'all, your PR gets together and be like, you two girls should just like go have lunch. Let's all go to the Abbey and make friends with some gays.
Come on, the Abbey.
And then let's, you know, go to a red carpet together and be friends.
No. Well, she was shitty to some reporter in the press room because he was on his phone. And then I think a report came out afterwards that he was trying to Google how to say something to her because English is not his first language. But she was like,
who, Amy? Wait.
Yeah, no, Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Like in the press room, I guess, after she won the award.
Oh.
She was like being shitty, like, oh, I guess we'll wait until you're ready and you can look up and get off your phone when the
whole. And I thought it was just me, right? Because during the red carpet, and I typically skip those things, but for whatever, I think I watched like the last 15 minutes of the red carpet special.
Oh, no.
And she came up there with, I don't know if it was the director of the movie or her boyfriend. I don't know who what man was that she was with. I guess it was the director. And two of the people that they have on the red carpet to kiss everybody's ass said something to her. Like, they asked her a question like, how would you sum up like the career, which would be like the greatest thing that's ever happened to you.
I mean, you won an Academy Award, so.
And she said something like, I mean, I don't think that I would. Or something like, I don't think that I would know how to. Done. And then the man next to her was like, well, like he answered the question for her and tried to make something deep. And then she was like, did you get that? Did you hear all of that? Oh, and I really wanted, I was like, why didn't they get like a black person or like somebody with some attitude?
She has an attitude. She's annoyed.
I would have been like, bitch, did you get that, girl? Like, what are you talking about, ingrate?
Like, we didn't need all this. You could have just said, man, it's been really overwhelming and exciting. I feel super blessed and just thankful to be working so much.
Like, the lack of media training shit was cute for the first couple of years. But if you're just going to be flat out, like, stank to people.
Right. I mean, girl, it's still the Golden Globes red carpet. And if you don't think it's a big deal or you don't want to be here, then don't. You don't have to do this.
And stop doing X-Men movies while we're on the motherfucking topic. Because you don't look like Mystique. You look like Jennifer Lawrence with some fucking blue paint on her and some fucking chips from Joanne Fabrics or something.
Man.
Stop it.
And I was with Jennifer Lawrence for a while, too. I thought she was...
With a smooth...
See, but they always do this.
To us.
Everybody disappoints us.
She's on this long list of niggas.
God that damn.
Be like, oh, hey, y'all like me? Not anymore.
We just gotta stop bigging niggas up. We can't even say nothing good about nobody no more. Because the only person who doesn't let us down is fucking Beyonce. That's it.
And that's because she's never telling us. None of her mother.
She doesn't set the expectations in the first time.
On lip sync battle.
When she came out there in the last 3 seconds and had the whole goddamn room turned for 15 fucking minutes. Them kids could not handle it.
First of all, do you remember we talked about this on the show? And I was just like, I don't feel like I understand why she would do this.
Yes.
Now I do.
Because she had the van parked outside the whole time, like...
AC on.
Like, let me know when it's 90 seconds, because that's when I'll go inside the building. I'm not.
Blue Ivy has completed one smooth level of Candy Crush, and Mama is already back in the car.
Yes, it was... She came out, she strutted out on that stage.
Did some choreo from 2012, like...
For 6 seconds, then made this white man bow down to her and left.
I'm finished.
She's like, look at this. And these kids in the audience like, yes, Beyonce, this man, what was his name? Channing Tatum. His wife is over here just dying.
That whole episode was actually cute, though, because I forgot they were married and that they both dance. And her thing
who
that
she used to... She used to dance for somebody. Like, she went on tour with somebody. I can't remember who.
First time I remember actually seeing her, and I love dancers, but I remember them being the original Step Up kids.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, getting married or whatever. So when she, like, recreated that Magic Mike...
Oh, yeah.
...lap dance on him.
Which I didn't get at first because I didn't see Magic Mike. Somebody had to explain that to me. And then I was like, oh, okay.
I just remember it from the trailer because I didn't watch that shit either.
Yeah, it was good, though. I liked the two of them together, and they're cute. But Beyonce just came out at the very end and smashed it, like, all right, then that'll do. Y'all will be all right till
the
next
time. Clothes
that
she was just shopping in. Like, what?
Just regular old Beyonce, looking gorgeous too. Like, bitch, how dare you?
I just don't even understand her.
Chrissy Teigen lost it.
Everybody lost. Like, I don't even, I just don't.
Man, Beyonce is just it. Like, talking about her, I just feel this glow. Like, I just feel this warmth coming over me.
Surely makes me happy to talk about. And I know it makes a couple of you hoes mad, and that's fine.
I mean, this situation brings me
joy.
Skip
forward, stop. It makes
really
no
matter.
Difference to me. Like, I don't care.
She's just life.
So let's give a quick update on Tyga and his dramatics with Poor Decisions.
Oh, God. I didn't care last week, and I don't care now.
So the little white girl who said that she was, it was going down in the DM with Tyga and her, and that he was trying to reach out to her and blah, 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 and all this shit.
Okay.
So she got caught up in some other shit with some random white rapper I've never heard of. That has, like, tattoos all over his face or some shit.
Okay.
And apparently she also hit him up and told him that she was 18.
Uh-oh.
And he ignored her, I guess, at the first time. And she was like, what do I have to do to get your attention? Like, I feel like we would make some great music together. Or, like, I really want you to listen to my music. And he's put out these screenshots and said some shit like, so you're 18, but you haven't graduated yet? This doesn't make any sense to me. I'm just confused. I'm really uncomfortable. I don't want to do this.
I mean, okay, good.
So again, all I have to say about this, because I felt like something was fishy from jump, it makes no difference, because somebody was in my mentions talking about, oh well, y'all were real harsh to him because that girl was trash. I don't care about any of that.
I don't care.
Fact of the matter is that you pursue, like, you see how that random man I don't know used his better judgment to say, this is a bad idea. Like, this girl's playing games. Mm-hmm. You're telling me she didn't even say 18 to you. She said 17, and you were like, let's get on FaceTime. Like, let's do, that doesn't,
right.
Bad idea, girl.
Just the fact that she's out here trying to be fast and grown on the internet doesn't change the fact that Tyga's response was inappropriate, knowing that she was underage. And that's just it. I don't really give a shit if you agree with that or not.
The end.
Right. And like, I don't care about this story at all.
So Juvenile and Manny Fresh are apparently doing an album with Lil Wayne.
You know what? And I need Young Money, Cash Money to stop fucking lying to me.
Stop
because
playing.
This comes out every 6 months. Oh, a new record from Cash Money. You niggas is not ready. Juvie's coming back. No, all of you are lying and shut up.
I don't know why they keep doing this. Like, I thought it was just
stop
me.
Stop fucking with me.
But I was like, ain't this like the 20th time that you niggas done told us this? Like,
just shut up.
Just put it out or leave me alone.
Just do it right. Just drop it out of nowhere. We'll find it. I swear, if you put it out, we will see it. Like, just, but don't tell me no more shit about his coming. Because I don't
believe
you.
This
nigga
and his foster daddy were just talking about shooting each other and how they hate each other and all of this other bullshit. And now they posted up at Drake's New Year's Eve party talking about, you know, fam for life. And that's great. Lovely to see it.
Whatever you say.
Some nigga on Instagram left the comment on just like some picture of Wayne and Birdman together. And the comment said something like, man, until Carter 5 come out, I don't give a fuck if these niggas fuck passionately.
Really?
It was like
fuck passionately?
First, it was like the first caption I saw underneath the photo. It wasn't even like a meme. Like, it was just there when I saw the picture. And I laughed so hard.
People
like,
love doing the most on celebrities' Instagram. Sometimes it's hilarious.
All of this, it wasn't even a celebrity. It was like a blog or something.
Oh,
like,
okay.
A Baller Alert or Shade Room or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Got it.
I couldn't stop laughing. Y'all have no scruples on that motherfucker.
We'll see with this Lil Wayne and Juvenile and Birdman and everybody. We'll fucking see.
Let's just throw, like, Silk the Shock and Master P and everybody. Let's just have,
just
like,
get C-Murder to record some verses from prison. Just,
right.
Come on. Just tell me everybody's
let's
coming.
Let's have a No-Limit reunion.
Call Boosie to come down from Baton Rouge.
Let's all the Fugees put something together for us. Why don't we just, let's just get it popping. Just lie to everybody.
Okay, right. We'll see, Louisiana.
Patti LaBelle has a new nigga. A new man. They grown.
Really? I thought you was about to sit up here and talk about her damn pound cake.
So why you bring that up?
Oh, God. Have you had it?
Yeah. That pound cake is, it's like, it's what's right with America and, like, the world. Like, it gives me insight into, like, positive parts of living on Earth today. Like,
it can't be that good.
No, it's not that good. But it's like, it's really good. Like, I'm being dramatic.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. Just the way the sweet potato pie was, like, surprisingly good for a store-bought pie. Mm-hmm. I feel like the pound this cake is surprisingly thing. Good.
So it's moist.
Right. Yes.
I'm assuming because I haven't had any.
Ugh.
But it looked like it was covered in icing from what I saw.
I actually scraped that off and I never
do that.
That's
just too
much. I always eat icing. You don't need it.
Yeah, it's just sugar on sugar. But if you say it is good, I'm going to take your word
delicious,
for it.
Delicious. And I need that caramel cake too.
Okay. So. See, I know. And I know this is coming from Asante. So how come Asante is giving everybody else?
Repeat.
See, this is some bullshit. And you I need to hit Asante up and be like, so.
You know I can't even eat it. You can just have the rest of mine.
I can't have it neither. I can't have none of that shit.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I gave up sugar in December. So.
I said, fuck it, girl. I'm going to go through pain for this if I have
to. Withdrawals of quitting sugar was some other shit. It was harder than when I gave up smoking cigarettes.
I had no idea. Like, scientific, there are
yes,
pieces about this.
Yes.
Like, it is literally like trying to give up like crack or something.
Yes, like heroin.
It's really hard.
It fucks with you. And it's like the withdrawal symptoms from not feeding your body that shit. Like, it really starts to fuck with you. You moody. You are like, can't sleep. Throat is always dry. It's like a bunch of different shit. Just annoyed and irritable. It's crazy.
After a couple of months of not having sugar like that, mm-hmm. one day just randomly I was in a bodega and I got one of those like old school Nounlaters that come with five in them that are 25
oh,
cents.
Yeah, yeah.
I just bought one of them and just fucked them up watching something on TV, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought them every day again for the rest of that week.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's happening? No.
As soon as you have sugar, you want some more of it. It's just like, I did the same thing during the holidays. I kept it cute. You know, obviously I wasn't going to cut myself off from eating, obviously, but I didn't go, you know, off the deep end or no shit. But then I got back to New York and bought like a pastry or something. And the next day went out and bought another one. Like, oh, it's not this bad. And then I was like, look at me. Like, I'm already that quick right back addicted to this bullshit.
When we had that fucking banana pudding during Thanksgiving or whatever from Magnolia Bakery.
We had a big ass. If you've ever had Magnolia's banana pudding, you know how good that shit. I say this as a southerner. The shit is good.
Don't even.
But we had a big old economy size bowl that could feed like 57 people. Of Magnolia banana pudding.
And it fed five.
And I sat on my couch with a spoon and ate it straight out the bowl.
And I hadn't had sugar in the longest time. My nigga, like four smooth
yes.
days later, Asante and I did the Soul Glow podcast.
Okay.
And we were leaving there 9 p.m. And I was literally sitting there torn between whether or not I should take an Uber to Magnolia before they closed to get some more.
Right.
And I did.
And you did it. Remember that time we all got high and went down to Asante's restaurant and then went to Magnolia?
Ate steaks.
And then,
and then we ate
all them fucking steaks and them chicken salad on the croissant sandwiches. And then we went to Magnolia.
See.
And we were supposed to take the banana pudding back uptown and smoke again, but then I ate it.
We have made some wild food choices when we smoke.
And sugar, man, that fucking sugar, it kills. Like, it really had a hold on me. And so I quit most sugar except, like, flavored creamer in my coffee. And then, like, 2 or 3 days ago, I quit putting flavored creamer in my coffee. So now I'm, like, strictly no sugar, trying to stay that way for as long as I can. Because I just feel so much better without
it. You feel
it.
So much better when you're not
I feel like I have
it.
Clarity.
Your skin is clearer.
It's easier to, like, run and work out. And I just feel better. I have more energy. I don't
that
need as much sleep.
Horrible for
like,
you.
If you are feeling just gross and ugh and blah, cut sugar out. It's going to be hard
Yo,
as fuck.
Sugar and dairy.
Nigga.
Look at the way your life changes.
I don't fuck with neither one of them. I got coconut milk, almond milk, all kinds of creams of different vegetables and shit. I cannot do. Dairy I can kind of slide with, but the sugar, I just can't. I feel so much better without it.
I mean, you know, I was forced to stop dairy, but like the reaction to it has been actually phenomenal. Like, you literally feel a shit
yeah.
ton better. Anyway. Yeah. I've all
said
right,
all so
of
what
that
were we
say.
Talking about?
That Patti LaBelle has a new man.
Oh, who right.
is 30 years younger than her.
Work! Yes! What is he still, though? Like 45?
He's 41.
Okay, so.
And her drummer.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. And is that, you know, what, are they taking selfies? Come on, Instagram.
Oh, several selfies. You know, just out here, Patti's wig is brushed, her hats are on, you know, she's just out here.
You
like,
know, the advanced generation is, they with it, because you know who is so cute on Instagram? Miss Tina.
She can you talk about it?
If you are not following Miss Tina, Beyonce's mama on Instagram.
It's literally Miss Tina Lawson.
Miss Tina Lawson. Just go find her.
And she posts selfies.
It's adorable.
With her and Bae.
Yes, she does.
She supports his work. She posts pictures of her and her daughters, her grandbabies.
And she includes Bianca and Kelly and all them. Yeah, she includes all the extended they know. She talks about all of them like they her kids.
And it's just so cute.
She's right. She's just so cute on the internet talking about, oh, you know, we go to Costco because we can eat up all the samples on Sunday and don't have to spend money on brunch.
Like, I'm obsessed.
She's adorable. She's like everybody's cute ass mama on the gram.
So, yeah, shout out to Patty. I mean, if you keep cranking out these desserts, I was already a Patty LaBelle stan just for music and attitude.
Right. I mean, she's already accomplished so much. And now you got this dessert line coming out, diabetes in a can, though it may be.
And this young-ass nigga that's like a year older or younger than your son.
Because, first of all, Miss Patty don't even look 71 years old. She doesn't. But the fact that you got a 41-year-old, like, listen, I feel like y'all in there doing some things.
Why don't you just stay mad?
Go ahead then, sis. Queen, legendary Miss Patty LaBelle.
So I think the only one I have left here, Farrah Abraham and Nicki Minaj. So Nicki Minaj, I guess, watches Teen Mom or whatever. Did you hear about this?
You know, it made its way to Tumblr. I'm on most of a social media break because. You know, just like the regular TV, sometimes you need a break from social media too, right?
Absolutely.
But it made its way to Tumblr, so I think I heard about it kind of.
So I think maybe she was watching the show or saw a clip, I don't know, whatever, and decided to tweet her, you know, opinion about it.
Why?
Like super randomly. I don't even.
Why would you do this though with however many millions of followers you have on Twitter?
So she said this. Where is it? She called her a cunt.
I was going to say, don't know what she said, so let me hear what you have to say about it first.
She said, Farrah is a cunt to her mother.
Oh, well, that's true.
Someone tweeted her and said even her own daughter had to slap her. And she said, Nikki puts the laughing emojis and says, she was like, this is the daughter. She was like, bitch, go do some porn and leave grandma alone.
Oh, Jesus.
Farrah
responded
and said, because you're a parent, right? Your videos look like porn. Horrible. Good luck being negative. God bless. Busy making TV. Nikki responds to her.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Really?
I don't know.
Why?
Like, it didn't even need to go this far.
It didn't.
She says, your mother didn't open her legs and have that child. Be happy she's helping. Stop talking to her like that on TV, you little cunt. In your case, hashtag big cunt.
God, Nikki.
The Farrah then says, you must.
Oh, no. This kept going?
We're not even, like, we have a few more.
Oh, shit.
You must really want attention. Talk about women with respect. It's Sunday. Stop watching reruns and go to church. Hashtag God bless.
How you gonna tell somebody to stop watching reruns of your show?
What a dumbass. Shut up. Nikki.
Stupid bitch.
Nikki says, instead of dragging your mother, learn the difference between your with the apostrophe and the E and the other one. Then called her a dingbat.
Okay.
Farrah then says, to be clear, my mom doesn't help me. I help her. I love and care for my mom. Stop disgusting talk. Then she tweeted something about wake, pray, slay.
What? This is honestly getting dumber.
Then Farrah Abraham. I don't know if she called into a radio show or on Hollywood Life. She's on like a blog.
Mm-hmm.
That Nikki has no room to talk about my family relationships nor insinuate I'm a porn star, even though she is. Or I have no idea why she's insulting porn. Again, the scene had nothing to do with my sex tape. And for her to talk about my daughter, my mother, and be disgusting and ghetto. We're getting
that
there.
Word.
I no longer am supportive of her or her music. I have no intention of wasting further word on her. Keep watching my reruns, Nikki. She got it right that time. Viacom was like, look, I don't give a fuck what y'all are doing.
I was going to say, that Viacom gang.
But what we're not going to do out here.
I guarantee you legal sends her an excerpt from her contract real fast. Like, what you won't do.
Don't play out here.
You don't ever tell somebody not to watch
you can
Viacom Media Networks, bitch. That's what you will not do. And TV said, nah, roll it back.
And then she posted her daughter on Snapchat saying, the daughter said, like, stop using bad words.
That's what I saw.
And she's a loser.
I saw that, which...
Why would you involve your child? Anyway, so...
I mean, right. First of all, why have your baby perform for this drama and bullshit? Like, she's been through enough. She was born on Teen Fucking Mom. You're her mother.
So you...
Her life is hard enough. You gonna drag her into this bullshit too with Nikki and her legions of dumbass fans? For what?
So you had no further words for her. You decided to let your child have the word. Like, what?
And then had your child say, don't use bad words, as if you don't use bad words and cuss your own mama out all
in
the time.
In front of her.
Like she wasn't letting you stay in that. And I admit, Farrah's mama is her own crazy ass self, too. But Farrah is just as bad. And I'm sure that that dysfunction is like everything that MTV lives and prays for.
Farrah's mama is, I mean, Farrah is worse than her mama. Yes, her mama has plenty of issues, like letting her talk to her motherfucking ass like that. But that's just the big, that is, that ain't even the tip.
I would have slapped the shit out of Farrah so fucking long ago. I feel like that's really not
she
one
ain't
of
Mariah
her
Lynn's mama, but like she's pretty, you know, but either way.
I mean, right. No, because it's like it's always easy to handle dysfunction when your people are rich.
But you know what? I can't even give too much of a comment because I don't watch Teen Mom anymore, and I haven't for like years.
I catch it if it's on a rerun, which is probably what Nikki's problem was. Got high and saw a rerun.
I make sure. Well, Nikki has commented on random shows that she watches for years. Mm-hmm. So, and she puts like references in her songs and all kinds of shit. I just never really, I stopped the Teen Mom thing because I thought that like at first when they started their show that it was like a way of showing young girls how hard your life will be if you decide to have a baby when you're 16.
Yeah.
But then they kept bringing these girls back like twice a year, and then they would go and sign some new girls up and bring them back and whatever, and I was like, oh, so you're making these girls reality stars.
Yeah.
Like you're showing these young broke teenage moms that they can make some money if they basically exploit themselves and they're like struggle. And so now you have young girls like Farrah Abraham that feel like, ooh, I love these motherfuckers paying attention to me. I'm gonna go part my pussy for some motherfuckers on camera.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I'm gonna go get my face all done up or whatever. And I'm gonna, you know, to treat my mom like shit because I'm bringing in some checks from like MTV or whatever. And there ain't nothing wrong with any of those things. But I did see a clip on YouTube of the scene that she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at this little white girl like, are you serious?
No,
right
she's
now?
A total bitch. Like, she's a lot. She is a whole lot. I would not be able to deal with her ass at all. I would have been knocked her the fuck out. Been. She's the most disrespectful little motherfucker.
Like, I'm sitting here like it was one of those things that was so offensive that all I could do was laugh. Because I'm just trying to figure out. I don't even know how my mother would. What? Like,
I just don't know why Nikki decided to go back and forth with her. Like, if I said you being a cunt on TV, that's how I feel about it. That's what you opened yourself up to when you decided to be on reality TV. Now, if you have something to say back, that's fine. But I don't see any reason to engage with you about this.
Thank you. That's because
like,
it was like,
that's just how it goes.
I'm not going to act like her saying something I would have said is like crazy or shot out or anything like that. But going back and forth with some random, this little white girl who
reality
is only
TV
known
star.
For having a baby when she was like a child, basically.
Right.
When you're worth how many tens of millions, like, and don't have a baby. Like,
right.
It just doesn't.
I wouldn't have argued with this little girl. For what? What does she have? What does she do? Like, literally, she's only famous for being on this show, girl. Nobody cares. And famous is a strong word.
That is excessive. Like, that's generous as fuck.
Her name and face are only known because she acted a total fucking fool on Teen Mom. And that's it.
Like, and she was the one that did porn.
Yeah, and she turned around and did that, that very...
That's all I know.
That very, it was like triple X. It was like quadruple X porno. She was like, she went all the way. She was like, let's just, all the tricks. Anal and everything, girl.
Like, fine, girl.
Everything
but
on the dick.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you white hoes who love to start using the word ghetto every single time a black person cusses your motherfucking ass out. We see your casual racism and we're not going to shut the fuck up about it because what's real ghetto is having a fucking baby when you shouldn't have one and then making your mama take care of her while you go and fill your cooch and go and get your lips done
and
up
go have fun
and act like a fucking
young.
Ingrate while your mama is sitting here crying taking care of your motherfucking baby for you. That's ghetto.
So be real wise with the words you use. Because then she tried to upload some screenshot of her texting her mama about it. Her mama also said, oh, well, we don't have to be ghetto or whatever. So the apple in the tree and all that's fine.
All right.
Whatever. But watch your mouth.
Farrah and Janelle.
And your baby.
Like, two sides of the same white trash coin. It's just one of them has money and the other one doesn't. But both of them hoes. It's just like, girl, I don't understand why Nikki went back and forth with her, but all right. If y'all wanted to turn this into a thing and put it on the blogs, fine. That's y'all's business.
Well, that's all I've got for this week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about Quentin Tarantino, because he said the same thing.
About what?
During his speech at the, when you said ghetto, I thought that was what you were going to talk about, because he was like, when I talk about composers, I'm not talking about movie composers. That's ghetto. I'm talking about, you know, real composers.
And this I didn't is the, hear about
oh, that. Yeah. And then Jamie Foxx came back after that speech and was like, ghetto. Thank you. That's the word. Jamie kept it so real that night. So shout out to him.
A lot of the Negroes were keeping it real this whole time.
Yes, they were.
Denzel Washington was sitting up at the front row of the Golden Globes looking as bored as anybody could possibly be.
And his speech was just like, I don't think Denzel even wanted to beat her, really. It was just kind of like.
He had like a speech on a napkin or whatever.
But he couldn't read it.
Because he didn't have his glasses. So and Paula is like, you didn't bring your glasses, and everybody's laughing, and he literally was just like, man, it's all right. Like, yeah. He was just like, whatever, nigga. Like,
I don't care. I know I'm getting the Lifetime Achievement Award or whatever, but look at my family. I did see the lesbian. I did wonder briefly, was she married to somebody?
Okay.
I did see her. Yes.
People had questions.
I mean, because who is this? Hi. Right. No.
Kia texted me and was like, I Googled.
I had questions.
I just didn't, you know, I wasn't aware.
But he was just like, you know, here's my family, here's my wife, thank you so much. White people, the reel they put together for Denzel was fantastic.
I was just catching
life the whole time. Like, oh my God, he is in all these movies. Like,
they did really pay great respect and treatment.
And then he got up there and was like, well, I don't really remember what I was going to say and I can't read it. But, you know, it's cool. Thank you very much.
Not even I'm going to pass it to one of the motherfuckers who can't read it so they can say it.
Nope.
But just whatever. And that's why the white people hate these motherfuckers so bad. Because they just be walking through and taking their awards and just being like, whatever. Like,
because they want you to trip over yourself and thank God for the white people who allowed you to have this opportunity. And I'm just so overwhelmed. And thank you to the Academy and the blah, blah, blah. Like, he was up there like,
There's also like a huge thing in Hollywood where everybody is just like super, super fake and corny and like act like everybody's best friends in these award shows. And you can always see the motherfucker at these award shows, usually black, who's just like, like when Nikki was at the fucking AMAs, like, when am I getting this trophy so I can leave?
Yes. They just be like, okay, I'm actually over this show.
So I
turned it off when they gave Lady Gaga that award over Queen Latifah.
And she was like, I feel like Cher. And then John Patrick Shanley movie, Moonstruck. And everybody in the audience was like, what?
What? Like, right. What Queen Latifah was like, we can go now. This is, well, why are we still here?
And they was like back there laughing. Yes. And she heard it. Like, she reacted to it on stage.
They didn't give a fuck. What you gonna do?
And granted, I was like, you know, she did well in that horrible ass season of American Horror Story. So good for
you. It's still on,
but,
right?
Like, I think it finishes like tonight.
It scared the shit out of me.
It was so dumb.
It was so much.
I wasn't scared at all. It was just a horrible fucking story that made no sense and there was no payoff and the climax was trash.
I could not get into it. It was way too, it was just too much. It was
like
too much.
The only good parts about it was the fact that I got to see her acting and I thought that she was decent.
But Bessie was phenomenal.
Yeah,
Bessie
it was far
so
better.
Good.
But
so I got fed up and cut the TV off. I had to watch the rest on my DVR.
So yeah, I'm done. I don't have shit else.
Well, cool. Let's take a break.
Hey, you guys. This episode is being brought to you by Squarespace. Listen, if you're anything like me and you have a presence or a store or any kind of a profile, portfolio online, and you've tried to set up a website, then you probably had no idea what the hell you were doing. It is quite complicated. So many different ones and zeros and parentheses and all kinds of random stuff. With Squarespace, they make it super easy to get all of this stuff done. And you have the opportunity to go get a website that looks professionally designed and sexy and all of that great stuff with no skill level or coding knowledge required. They have intuitive, easy to use tools that are all upright in there. That's just very step by step and allows you to put something together that looks great. So you're not out here being janky and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year, which is also helpful if you need a website or something like that. So get into it, Crystal.
Yes, like Kid Fury said, Squarespace is so very easy to use. Even I can do it. I've been using Squarespace for thisis3.com for the past 2 years. It makes it so easy. And you know you need a website if you're selling something or you have an online presence or you need a blog. Really, for whatever reason, Squarespace has a solution for you. So head on over to squarespace.com today and use offer code READ to get 10% off. That's squarespace.com, offer code READ to get 10% off. We thank Squarespace for supporting the show, and now let's get back to it.
So we're back. It's time for our listener letters.
It is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. And our first question today, I don't really understand the words in it. It's for you.
I knew that you were going to say
that. And I don't really get what it's saying, but it says, I'm curious if Kid Fury is going to be at PAX East.
You
if
just said not PAX.
PAX, okay. Mm. If not, he should consider taking his game there as an indie dev. It's not as big of a gaming convention as E3, but it's definitely the second business. Hope you end up going. Please bring demos of your game. You have a game?
I don't have a game.
Oh.
But I have said publicly a few times that I have like.
I was like, what the fuck did I miss?
No. I have like a whole entire idea for a game. I've talked about Asante with this a million times over some kush.
Oh, okay.
But like, no, I have like, maybe if I win the Powerball, I'll keep a good chunk.
There you go.
And design it. But yeah, like I have an idea for like a really cool game, like starring some black characters, queer characters.
Oh, so maybe he thought you had a demo of it ready that you could take to the. Wow. But can you do that? Is it like that? Where you just.
Well, there are a lot of independent developers. It's indie dev.
Indie dev.
I mean, I wouldn't have known if I didn't
know.
It
was like, excuse me?
There are a lot of them who are building games like, you know, at home, at, you know, in their office when they should be working, like all kinds of shit, like building games and coming up with good stuff and putting it out or like on Kickstarter. And a lot of games are getting like fully funded on Kickstarters now and shit. And then they turn into some like bank, like like huge studios buy them and stuff. I'd like to focus on like immediate things now before I branch into that. But I'm very, very passionate about video games. So PAX is like.
Oh, PAX like the Wii people PAX?
No.
Oh, I was about to say, that's lit, nigga, go.
If there was a PAX convention.
Nigga, go, take me too, shit.
I can't remember what PAX stands for. I'm actually going to search for it as I'm saying this. But I know that it's like, it's a big convention where people go. I think it's more focused on games where E3 is like electronics in general. So they're like games and then like consoles and other kinds of things in the mix too. I mean, E3 is definitely the biggest and I got to go this year, which was awesome. But PAX feels like it's a little bit more like you might like meet some cool ass motherfuckers there or some shit like that and get to play with people.
Okay.
So I don't know where it. I'm actually need to look it up because I do want to go now that you've mentioned it. Oh, it's in Boston. How far is Boston from here?
Not very. Far, right? No, you could take the Amtrak.
Okay, cool. In April, I might have to get some tickets.
It's going to be frigid.
What?
It's going to be so cold.
In April? Oh.
You forgot where we were.
So,
Boston
yeah.
is even further north.
Hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, hopefully it did.
Yeah. And if you like, really, like make some great video games and want to hear mine, I don't know, whatever.
What's you should put your video game on Kickstarter. There was a Kickstarter. Have you heard of Tomorrow Looks Bright? It's this newsletter. And it comes out, I think, every week. And it's just like different things that black girls and women are creating across the globe. And I signed up for it.
Awesome.
Yes. And every week they send you like links to stuff. And I bought this amazing Harriet Tubman sweatshirt that I found on there that I just love so much. And but anyway, there was a Kickstarter for this girl who had started a line of panties.
Okay.
And it was like all eco-friendly, good draws that are made out of like healthy materials. Because people, when panties are mass produced, they go through all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
there could be all
sure.
kinds of chemicals and stuff. So anyway, this is underwear that's like good for your body. And I ended up backing that Kickstarter. I got a line of panties named after me. Some of the Kickstarter perks are so cool. That was one of the perks.
That is so dope.
Like, if you donate X amount of dollars, then I'll name a line of the panties. So there's like the Crystal Boy shorts or something.
I heard people who like donated to the Kickstarter for the Oculus Rift, which is this like virtual reality headset that's coming out in
March.
That
sounds very complicated.
Like, I heard some of those motherfuckers are getting one free. Like,
yeah.
So sometimes your perks to those things are dope.
Yeah, some of y'all come up with great perks to your Kickstarters.
I think that I would probably want someone to like do some like sketches and designs and concept art for me first, and then maybe I'll like take it to somebody and try and pitch it. I don't know, but I have like 80% of the idea down.
Okay.
Okay.
Our next letter comes from Lorelai, who says, "I'm an Asian woman who's dating a black man, and he happens to be in prison right now. It's a situation of wrong place, wrong time, wrong people, but that's a whole other story.
All right.
We've been together for 4 years and he's been incarcerated for half that time. He still has 5 years left on his sentence and we are talking about getting married. That's not the part I need judgment on. Ha ha. Because trust me, I've heard it all.
I was reserving it.
I mean, girl, because you came out the gate blazing. My concern right now is how to tell my family. I never brought him home to meet them because I've never really brought boyfriends home and my family has never cared to meet my SO. However, sadly, race is kind of an issue. My family wants me to stick with Vietnamese men, or at least an Asian one. I asked my mom once what she'd say if I dated a black guy, and she said, "Why would you do that?" Which, frankly, is the same answer a lot of black mamas would give.
I was just gonna say that. So it's like, I can't even, what? Okay.
She didn't really answer, but she also thinks men in general are useless and doesn't really care if I get married or not.
Hey.
Your mama is real.
Two for two. Like,
she might be a little racist, but she's real. So I'm debating whether I should tell them at all or wait until he gets out of prison to tell them. I feel sick to my stomach from nerves when I play it out in my head about how this would go. How do I tell my family I want to marry an incarcerated black man? I know marriage is a big deal, but do I really have to tell them? Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Sure, you can just get married to him and never tell them that you're married.
I mean, you can, but...
That just
lady.
Seems like a bad idea.
This is a bad idea. And you didn't give us your age, I think, deliberately.
That's fine.
But...
Change my answer. I was going to say, like, no offense, shade, nothing. But I wouldn't, like, if she was black, let's say, and her husband or man or whatever was another race, I may be able to just kind of gauge, just because I am black and kind of have an idea of the community,
right,
maybe how the reaction would go. Don't sound too different.
Yeah. I mean, there's the race issue there, but I think the bigger problem is probably that he's incarcerated.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like they might give you like some shit. If, as long as you put your foot down, I think that you would be fine. You come in and telling your parents that you about to marry a black guy sounds like it's already going to be an issue. Dropping the whammy that the nigga's locked up on top of that is not getting you any points. It just isn't.
Because maybe they could, you know, get accustomed to him or learn to like him if he was around, but that's not going to happen in prison. They're not going to go down to wherever your man is and go through security and shit to meet him behind a glass wall.
I just wouldn't say anything until
happening.
That nigga gets out.
Exactly. If I were you, I would continue to date, however that works, while he's in jail. And then if y'all still feel this way in another 5 years when he gets out.
Right. That's such. Thank you.
I mean, considering he's already been locked up for two, you seem in it to win it. And I just hope he doesn't get out and leave you, because that would be so wrong and yet so very predictable.
Regardless.
But.
See if
regardless,
you can stick that shit out
for
5 years.
Don't put your family through this until he can actually come to the house and see them.
Right.
This doesn't need. They don't need to
then
know.
Because he's still going to have to be like, well, you know, I spent the past 7 years
right.
or whatever
he's
in prison.
He's still going to have to explain that he was in prison for 7 years. So that's going to be hard enough. So you might as well just wait and give it all to them at once. Because if they know you about to stick it out for another 5 years with somebody you can't even see every day.
That's going to be a problem for them.
Girl, sis. So good luck to you.
But yeah.
But that's all I have for you. If you insist on doing this.
Yeah, like if he's that great of a guy and it was just, you know, all.
I don't know how you are emotionally fulfilled from behind bars. But listen, if it's working for you. Then more power to you. I can't even do a relationship
people
45 minutes away, much less you can't come see me when you... Wait a minute, my nigga. I can't do no sign in, sign out shit.
Live in Brooklyn, nigga, and see if we work out.
Because I promise you we won't.
I just don't even know how we're going to do that.
I mean,
somebody's going to have to just...
If I can't... If you're not within walking distance for me, which my walking distance is pretty far. I'll walk pretty far.
I'm willing to do some walking.
I'll walk up to two avenues and 30 blocks.
That's okay. That's reasonable.
I will do that.
To see a nigga, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, assuming it's not snowing or being crazy outside, right. Obviously. But like, if you more than two or three stops on the train in either direction, I don't see
it. I just
it.
Don't know.
I just don't. It's just too much.
I just don't.
Prison? And that's this sounds car, federal.
That's car shit. That's shit for motherfuckers with vehicles.
Right. See, I can't do it, girl. But good luck to you. God bless that. Yeah, let's just cut the question short. And
that works perfectly because we're just going to slide right into the read anyway.
Yeah, okay. Well, amen.
So, you're good?
I'm good. You know, I've had a very chill week. I've had positive. I have a praise report.
Oh, do you?
Well, not really. I just saw a musical that I'm obsessed with, and I just cannot get over
the
it.
The Color Purple?
Hamilton and The Color Purple. But I had
really
seen,
wanted to see The Color
I
Purple.
Saw The Color Purple already. I just wanted to see Jennifer and Danielle Brooks.
Me, that's why I want to go.
Danielle killed
that's
it.
That's what Dustin, like.
She killed it.
Dustin was like, no.
You have to go see
Listen
it for Danielle
to me.
Brooks. She murdered that role. She was I didn't even know she could sing like that. Like, she was just, it was so good. And my seat for The Color Purple was amazing. But I just randomly got the chance to see Hamilton, like, last minute on some luck shit. And I didn't know shit about it. Like, I hadn't read anything about the play or anything. But ever since I've seen that show, I have been, like,
I've heard amazing
completely
things about it,
transformed. But... It just changed my life. Like, I feel like I have a whole new perspective on life. It's phenomenal. If you get the chance to see it, go see it. But, you know, that was just my little, I just had some little positivity to get out.
That works perfectly this week.
Okay, great. Why? Because I could tell you are.
So I just want to start tonight by saying, first of all, we just so many.
Are you trying to narrow it down?
And I feel like, okay.
What is this?
Okay, so first I want to start by saying there was a girl who wrote an article for Elle magazine that was about Essence's Black Girl Magic issue that just came out.
Netta's issue?
Yes, the issue with Netta. And Yara from Blackish and, oh God, I forgot homegirl's name from fucking Dear White People.
Tiana Paris.
Thank you. So the article, the tweet here says,
Oh no.
Here's my problem with Black Girl Magic. Now, again, magazines, publications, all these people, y'all need to start including the writers' social media links in these articles so that we can go off on them. I know that y'all are tired of us having to talk about y'all. That's fine. Because I'm willing and ready to talk. So the it says by Linda Chavers Shaver. I don't know what the fuck her name is. I already started tweeting about this on my timeline. And when they finally gave me her at, the girl follows me. So I was like, perfect.
Oh, wow.
So you can already see that I am calling you a fucking dumbass. So apparently,
oh, Lord.
This girl has a problem with the phrase Black Girl Magic because she has suffered from multiple sclerosis for I can't remember how many years. I'm not even pulling it up. It doesn't even matter. But she apparently has a problem with it because she says that black, mind you, she's black.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she is.
She is saying that, you know, suffering from the disease, which I'm not even going to belittle in any kind of way because I can't imagine, but that, you know, black women aren't magical. We have regular flesh and bones and a regular nervous system like everybody else.
No, she didn't.
And, you know, we have nothing magic about us. And if I could, you know, put my hands together and you know, and flick my nose around in the air and make my MS go away, I could, but I can't. And I'm like, are you seriously taking that phrase literally right now? Like, are you assuming that we are saying that black women are all supremes and that we secretly, like, are you comparing us to, like are you trying to say that we're saying that we all practice voodoo? Like, I don't understand you're trying to imply by saying this. Like, it was the dumbest shit that I have ever fucking seen in all of my life. Then she goes on to say that, oh, while I take pride in black women loving themselves and this, that, and the third, and it makes me happy, but we're also, like, we've heard this before, readers, and, you know, black women are just making ourselves out to smile and withstand all the pain and the suffering that we're actually going through. Linda, 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 listen, Linda, Linda, honey, Linda, Linda, listen to me. If you don't feel magic, if you don't walk out the outside during the day, afternoon, evening, night, twilight hour, and there's not a wind that picks up in your motherfucking curls, and you don't just feel like, you know what, I may have MS, but goddamn it, I'm gonna be a bad bitch today. I feel like the shit just because I motherfucking am. Nobody is saying that these girls have cauldrons and that they're coming up with potions for their hair to be shiny. Like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, you wrote this for Elle magazine? What? Are you serious? Look, girl, if you feel sad or depressed or if you're in pain or whatever, listen, not only can I relate to that, like, I totally understand feeling like this motherfucker's day is shiny and bright and I feel like shit. And it makes me, because there's nothing where when you are in a shit mood and nothing could be worse and you meet up with somebody who is having the best day of their motherfucking life. I don't know who told a stand-up joke about this, but someone did. I don't know who it was, but it's awful.
Yeah.
Like,
it's almost annoying.
It's like, it's the worst. Like when Rose on Golden Girls would always come in and just be like, hey girls, what's going on? I just got a new dog. Like all this. And they would be like, girl, it's 7 in the morning and life sucks. And we are bare. Like I have to live with two of you bitches and my mama. Like I don't. Like what's the problem? If you feel a kind, that is your personal problem. And yes, the fact that black women, black people have been able to go through however many fucking decades, centuries of the bullshit that we've gone through in just this motherfucking country and still be out here like, my hair is great, my fashions are sickening, my food tastes good, I know how to motherfucking dance, bitch, and you can't tell me shit about myself. I'm good. I'm proud of myself. I'm not gonna let you take my joy away from me. I'm gonna stand up and yes, I'm gonna be magic. Everything about me is great. Like, what's wrong with, like, you legitimately have a problem with that because you don't feel great about yourself? There are people you can talk to. There's nothing wrong. No matter what black person tells you, that black people shouldn't seek help for mental health. I'm doing it. Like, if you need to talk to somebody about the way you feel about you, then go out there and do that. But how dare you try and open up your mouth or use your fingers to try and say that black women aren't magic and try and downplay this moment of black. It ain't even like a, like for real. They're like shirts that say this and shit or whatever, but it's not like black girls are running up in everybody's face and saying like, hey, bibbidi bobbidi boo, bitch, like we're magic, like all us, we all, bitch. Like it's not, it's just something that black women are saying, not even just black women, are just saying about black women to big themselves up and be like, girl, we love ourselves.
Right.
But you don't, and so you feel like you should shit on other black women and their motherfucking experiences and their self-love because of the way that you feel about you. I really hope and pray that this gets to you, girl, and that you think then before you get up on L or anywhere else and say some dumb shit like that again. Also, Wendy Williams was on her show, I think, last week with Alyssa Milano and was talking. I guess Alyssa Milano had a baby not too long ago and posted a photo on Instagram of herself breastfeeding. And some people had a problem with that, as dumb people do. So Wendy Williams mentions how she doesn't feel like women need to do that because she doesn't want to see it and it makes her uncomfortable. And Alyssa Milano was like, girl, what? Like she was like, so you'll post a photo of Miley Cyrus with two Steve Urkel-ass suspenders over her nipples.
Right.
And that's cool. But me feeding my baby ain't? Like, I don't understand. And she was like, well, yes, because breasts are sexual things.
Wendy Williams said that? A mother? I mean, okay.
Of course you said that because your breasts are fake. But at the same time, and then she also said that she breastfed her son for like 2 weeks because he was too ravenous or something like that. But are you seriously, as a woman, go sit up here on this show? Like, if it makes you uncomfortable, whatever. Even me, sometimes when I go out in public, sometimes when I see a woman breastfeeding, I almost like jump a little inside. It catches you off guard. But then I'm like, okay, like.
Yeah. What are you really going to do?
Like, that is what they are. Like, the whole reason that you have these glands and that your breasts protrude and do whatever is to feed your kid. Like, I don't, what? I don't understand how anyone actually can try and fix their mouth to make somebody feel uncomfortable for nourishing their fucking baby.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Especially when babies will be like, I don't give a fuck if this is the train. I don't give a fuck if this is the bus. I don't give a fuck if this is church. I'm hungry and I want to eat right now. And you can't always get up and go somewhere or do whatever. So you're going to let your baby holler or starve instead of just pulling your goddamn titty out and feeding your baby? Like, I wish that I would be sitting by somebody that was the breastfeeding their baby and you would say something to them about it. Oh gosh, ma'am, I got this. Why don't you mind your motherfucking business, bitch? Why don't you keep your two grown ass eyes of her goddamn tit and leave her the fuck alone? And even if they post it, like, I've always looked at breastfeeding as like almost like when women pose nude when they're pregnant. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like, it's beautiful. Like, it's life. It's something that is just kind of like, and then when you have all of these like scientific, like these resources and references about why breastfeeding is so like important and it's like great choice for your baby and all this stuff, like, literally, no pun intended, get off their tit, bitch. Like, what are you talking about? And I just don't understand why Wendy Williams would sit on TV and her own audience was like, girl, what? Like,
because that's stupid. Especially coming from another woman, especially one who has been pregnant and given birth. Really?
And then she posts a photo of Coco and iced tea, and Coco is in some crazy dress. And I guess they were giving Coco hell for still wearing sexy, thotty dresses when she's a mom now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, so how do you feel about that? And Alyssa Milano was like, she can wear whatever the fuck. What does that have to, like, she looked like legitimately, like she was confused, but also trying to be nice and be like, oh yeah, Wendy, whatever. But girl, what? Like,
she was probably thinking, I can't wait to cuss my publicist out because who the fuck booked me for the Wendy Williams show? This ignorant shit.
She was real cute about it, but I was sitting there on the other side of the fucking MacBook as I'm watching this clip. Like, why would you say this? And she has to explain to her, like, girl, obviously if you're a mom, you can wear whatever you want to wear. And someone said, like, I think Wendy asked her, like, would you wear something like this now that you're a mom? And Lisa was like, I wouldn't wear something like that because I'm 43. But... like, girl, more power.
And if I wasn't the type to dress like that before I was a mother, why would I do it afterwards? Like, you're just trying to shit on another woman by being like, oh, well, we're moms and we wouldn't dress like this. But we're not playing that game no more. Like, you don't get to put other women down for not making the choices
that's
you would
late.
Make.
Get over it. Stop it. It's dumb. It's
I mean,
boring.
But Wendy is just a big old loud tacky bitch anyway, so.
Neiman Marcus.
What? So, you got a list of reads. Okay, I'm going home.
I ordered some shoes from NeimanMarcus.com.
Nope.
Because they said that the girls were going to come for the holiday season, and I was expecting for them to come during my little Christmas holiday vacation, whatever, and I was going to come back to the city, and they were going to be there, and I would go out on New Year's Eve and have my shoes, and I can't wait for my shoes, and I'm so excited for my shoes. I come back to the city. They are not here. So I called their customer service line, and I spoke to two individuals. One was a manager, and I asked them, why don't I have my stuff? And they said to me, well, there's credit card. Your credit card information doesn't match something else in the system, and so we just, you know, we file that under like fraud and we just cancel the order. Mind you, when I first spoke to the initial representative, they told me that the order was canceled by the customer. And I said, sir, I'm the customer and I'm asking you where my shit is. Does that make sense to you? Like, let's think about that. And then he put me on the phone with the manager and she was like, well, you know, the card thing, whatever, but I'd be happy to rerun the thing for you with whatever, you know, like, give me your card information again and we'll do it again and I'll send it out to you next day. Fine. It did not come next day. And the email that I got afterwards said that it was going to come on the 11th. The 11th has come and gone. I do not have my shoes. Mm-hmm. I called them back on the 12th and I said, where are my motherfucking shoes at? And they said to me, well, the credit card information doesn't match something else here in the system.
Again?
And I said, girl, that's what you hoes told me 2 smooth weeks ago. And I still don't have my shit. So I'm confused. I don't understand what's happening. And so they were like, well, the problem is that your credit card information, you have to ship the item to your billing address.
Oh, they won't let you ship to a different address than your billing address.
I said, madam, who on the internet that ships things to people forces you to ship to your billing address? Almost, you could buy in Amazon, Best Buy, Wayfair, Kool-Aid.com. I don't get, like, everyone's like, girl, where's your billing shit at? Where you want us to send it to you? So you not only decide to say, this doesn't make sense, it's not the billing address, so we're not going to send it to you. We're also going to cancel it twice and not tell you. Suck my dick. It's bad enough that my black ass decided to spend some motherfucking coins at Neiman Marcus in the first place, because it's one of many establishments that I walk into that sells high-end merchandise or whatever you want to call it, where motherfuckers are walking around like I have some sort of pheromones or something that's just attracting them to see what the fuck I'm at, where I'm at, and what I'm doing. No problem. I'll be down at Saks where I've got my personal shopper. That nigga black. We see each other. Fuck y'all. Also, David Bowie passed away, right? And so this was a really traumatic time for the girls. You know, a lot of us are feeling, you know, very passionately about it. Tiffany Pollard thought that David Guest died. She was wrong. That wasn't her fault. Another time.
She did a lot.
And it's New York. That's why we love her.
She did a lot.
I'm sure we've said this on the show before. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't have, just because you're not a fan of somebody or you don't know somebody or whatever, doesn't mean that you have to come in and be the bitch to be like, now y'all know, y'all don't even know them, or y'all want no fans like that. There was like a couple of people that I know posted of this young man, I think his name was Cordell, like passed away. I don't know how. I think it was like a car accident, something crazy.
Car accident in Georgia where that car flew off the highway and three
tragic
people died
and sad.
Yeah, that was sad.
And one of the boys that passed away, I didn't know, I've never met him personally, but I know a lot. Like, I have friends that know him and I would see him all the time and like friends. So I knew of him. So when I heard the story, I mean, clearly it's sad, but when I saw him, like, I was like, damn, like, that's so fucked up. Yeah. And then come to find out his motherfuckers on here talking about, well, y'all didn't even know that nigga. Y'all acting all sad. Because it's sad, bitch. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, go. Find something to do. Like, why can't people just grieve or mourn or say rest in peace or something? Because that is just a kind, thoughtful, empathetic, sympathetic motherfucking thing to do.
Yes.
If you don't want to, bitch, then tweet about something else. Mob Wives is coming on tonight. Find something else to talk about. Leave people the fuck alone. Find a job. Find a life. Find a personality. Find some sense. Find a library. Find things that don't involve you being a public goddamn dumbass and nuisance. And that goes for all of you bitches. And Donald Trump, we're bored. Since I'm here tonight, bitch, we are bored. Since you want to call everybody that tries you boring, bitch, everything about you is boring. Your wig is boring. Your jowls are boring. Your skin is boring. Your tactics are boring. Your gaze are boring. Your suits are boring. Your shows are boring. Your life is boring. Your family is boring. Your whiteness is boring. Your ideals are boring. Everything about you is boring. Yet you find ways to call everybody boring that shades you or says something about you that you don't like. Eat ass on Thursday. And I'm out, this bitch.
I hope you didn't break them headphones.
I hope so, too.
That's not coming out my check. That's not coming out my check.
Definitely.
So that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Read. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram at This Is The Read. And check out our website, thisistheread.com.
We have a Tumblr?
You know what? I actually want to hit you in the face because I said Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but we are on Tumblr also.
Okay.
And as well. Did I say Facebook, Twitter? I might have said Tumblr.
Girl, social
media. It doesn't matter, girl. Follow us on the social. It's there. And
this Saturday, Fierce Thoughts Live.
Oh, right. Yes. The big day. It's here.
SBA Theater. I think there are like 20 tickets left, 10 tickets left.
Look at you. Look at you. It's going to be big.
It's in the Beyonce room.
Right. Like, right. I mean, it's a blessing already. It is destined to be greatness. Beyonce has blessed that space.
I'm nervous, but I'm really, really excited. And I think it's going to be a fun time.
Good. Good. So, I'm glad.
2016, new things and such.
It's happening.
So I think that's it for me.
Okay. I don't think I have any announcements, really. Just, you know, out here avoiding the internet, mainly for those reasons you just gave.
Right? Like, why even log on?
Why even log on when every day is somebody getting mad at somebody else, and niggas dragging and niggas cussing somebody out in the same.
That involves something I saw on the internet.
I just can't, right?
Like,
you see how much happier I am this week? It's because I've been off the fucking internet for a while, and it just feels, I go on Tumblr, I go on Snapchat, I just leave. Twitter is just, it's a lot sometimes, and I can't fucking do it.
Because we're motherfuckers that just be like at the house doing regular shit all the time. And so then I think sometimes we forget that motherfuckers are crazy. Like you are this dumb and you want people to know. Like, that's
right.
Mind boggling.
I mean, there's nothing, few things are more annoying than looking at Twitter and seeing a bunch of people complain about what other people are tweeting about. Like, girl, you're in charge of your timeline. If you don't like it, unfollow or mute them niggas and talk about what you want to talk about. I don't get this.
One time I made a list of all of the niggas that I like, which was like 7 of y'all. And I just deleted my, I would never went to my timeline. I went to my mentions and list. That's it.
It's just,
like, you control it. It's yours.
Yeah.
Shut up.
All right. So that's it for me. Do you have an acronym this week or not?
My acronym this week.
I mean, you just did so much. You were so angry.
I don't have an acronym this week, but I do want to say that I saw Charlamagne in these streets today.
Yes, you did.
And we had a conversation.
And Charlamagne, you knew this shit was coming. You knew. It's been months for you to get this cussing out. You knew it, my nigga. I cannot save you.
Like, it was actually, like, dampened down because of the length, like, how long.
Right.
I had to actually wait.
It took months, but you finally saw him and had to let.
I was
Miles
all off
and Milan,
script.
Miles and Milan.
Of all the niggas that come through Breakfast Club. My God. Like, what did I do?
Right.
Anyway, that's it.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.